Part 3. Extended Discourse. Questions 21 to 28. An Ancient Philosopher with a Modern Idea. Two philosophy students are working on a group assignment to prepare a presentation on a person who they believe has made a contribution to modern thought and who is not adequately recognized. Listen to their conversation and answer the questions that follow.
Now listen to the conversation.
All right, let's get started. So why Democritus?
First of all, who was Democritus exactly? I skipped some of the background research because I was running out of time.
Well, he was this ancient Greek philosopher and scientist, wasn't he? He was born around 450 BC in Abdera, which was, sort of, this town where people from Athens said that even the air causes stupidity. He was a disciple of Lefkopus, according to my source, which is Wikipedia. He's called a pre-Socratic, even though actually he was a contemporary of Socrates. Incidentally, there's a story that Democritus journeyed to Athens to meet Socrates, but then was too shy to introduce himself. I'm not sure any of this is particularly useful, however.
He was a recognized philosopher, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, sort of. He was a philosopher, but not a popular one. Almost none of his writings survive. Some of them apparently survived into the Middle Ages, but they're lost now. What we know about him is mostly due to the fact that other philosophers, like Aristotle, brought him up in order to criticize him.
So can you remind me, what were the ideas they criticized?
Democritus thought the whole universe is composed of atoms in a void, constantly moving around according to determinate, understandable laws. He thought these atoms can hit each other and bounce off, and they can stick together to make bigger things. They can have different sizes, weights, shapes. Maybe some are spheres, some are cylinders, whatever. On the other hand, Democritus said that properties like color and taste are not intrinsic to atoms, but instead emerge out of the interactions of many atoms. If the atoms that made up the ocean were intrinsically blue, then how could they form the white froth on the waves? That's what he said.
If we remember, this is 400 BC. I think so far we're batting pretty well.
Yeah, the concept sounds familiar, doesn't it? Did you read about his arguments, at least?
Yes, I read that part. I think his most memorable argument was, okay, let me paraphrase it. Suppose we have an apple, and suppose the apple's not made of atoms, but is instead this continuous hard stuff. And suppose we take a knife and cut the apple into two pieces. It's clear that the points on one side go into the first piece, and the points on the other side go into the second piece. But what about the points exactly on the boundary? Do they disappear? Do they get duplicated? Does the symmetry get broken?
None of those possibilities seem particularly elegant.
Yep, exactly. And of course, there's a debate raging even today between atomists and anti-atomists. This time, though, the headquarters of the atomist side aren't in Abdera. They're in the physics department of our university campus, of all places.
You mean this debate is whether space and time themselves are made up of indivisible atoms, right? I mean, we all know about the apple and the table and such. I think it's pretty ironic that the physicists have almost no experimental evidence to go on and are basically in the same situation that Democritus was 2,400 years ago.
That's why he's important. He was so far ahead of his time. One passage of Democritus that does survive, apparently, is a dialogue between the intellect and the senses. The intellect starts out saying, "By convention, there is sweetness. By convention, bitterness. By convention, color. In reality, only atoms in the void." In my book, this one line already puts Democritus shoulder to shoulder with Plato, Aristotle, and any other ancient philosopher you care to name.
Now listen again.
All right, let's get started. So why Democritus?
First of all, who was Democritus exactly? I skipped some of the background research because I was running out of time.
Well, He was this ancient Greek philosopher and scientist, wasn't he? He was born around 450 BC in Abdera, which was, sort of, this town where people from Athens said that even the air causes stupidity. He was a disciple of Lefkopus, according to my source, which is Wikipedia. He's called a pre-Socratic, even though actually he was a contemporary of Socrates. Incidentally, there's a story that Democritus journeyed to Athens to meet Socrates, but then was too shy to introduce himself. I'm not sure any of this is particularly useful, however.
He was a recognized philosopher, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, sort of. He was a philosopher, but not a popular one. Almost none of his writings survive. Some of them apparently survived into the Middle Ages, but they're lost now. What we know about him is mostly due to the fact that other philosophers, like Aristotle, brought him up in order to criticize him.
So can you remind me, what were the ideas they criticized?
Democritus thought the whole universe is composed of atoms in a void, constantly moving around according to determinate, understandable laws. He thought these atoms can hit each other and bounce off, and they can stick together to make bigger things. They can have different sizes, weights, shapes. Maybe some are spheres, some are cylinders, whatever. On the other hand, Democritus said that properties like color and taste are not intrinsic to atoms, but instead emerge out of the interactions of many atoms. If the atoms that made up the ocean were intrinsically blue, then how could they form the white froth on the waves? That's what he said.
If we remember, this is 400 BC. I think so far we're batting pretty well.
Yeah, the concept sounds familiar, doesn't it? Did you read about his arguments, at least?
Yes, I read that part. I think his most memorable argument was, okay, let me paraphrase it. Suppose we have an apple, and suppose the apple's not made of atoms, but is instead this continuous hard stuff. And suppose we take a knife and cut the apple into two pieces. It's clear that the points on one side go into the first piece, and the points on the other side go into the second piece. But what about the points exactly on the boundary? Do they disappear? Do they get duplicated? Does the symmetry get broken?
None of those possibilities seem particularly elegant.
Yep, exactly. And of course, there's a debate raging even today between atomists and anti-atomists. This time, though, the headquarters of the atomist side aren't in Abdera. They're in the physics department of our university campus, of all places.
You mean this debate is whether space and time themselves are made up of indivisible atoms, right? I mean, we all know about the apple and the table and such. I think it's pretty ironic that the physicists have almost no experimental evidence to go on and are basically in the same situation that Democritus was 2,400 years ago.
That's why he's important. He was so far ahead of his time. One passage of Democritus that does survive, apparently, is a dialogue between the intellect and the senses. The intellect starts out saying, "By convention, there is sweetness. By convention, bitterness. By convention, color. In reality, only atoms in the void." In my book, this one line already puts Democritus shoulder to shoulder with Plato, Aristotle, and any other ancient philosopher you care to name.